And I encourage you to turn to the book of John, and in John chapter 19. So Pastor Ben was here last Sunday. You got to hear that we were down at district conference in Victoria. And so it was a week long. And so Pastor Ben left early to visit his family, went to district conference. And then Omley and I and our family, we went to district conference. Then we visited family. And so we're grateful for that time to be away, but obviously we're grateful to come home. Amen. To my own church, my own people, and where I live in Terrace, lovely, lovely, lovely place. And so during the district conference, we had many guest speakers and people sharing with us. So over 200 pastors together in Victoria at Coastline Church, which used to be GTA Church. And so in Victoria, great church. And this lady, the first guest speaker, Joanne Goodwin, shared a couple thoughts with me. So she has a master's degree in theology. Whoa, that's intense. She's been on 100 Huntley Street a few times. And she is a cancer survivor as well. Praise God. Listen to that. Put that one out there for you. And deals, honestly, with some mental health issues. And so she's on medication, but she's been able to just stay the course in the midst of that. And what she read, which kind of planted a seed, which is going to lead us to where we're going to get to today, is John chapter 19, verse 26. She said this, as Jesus was hanging on the cross, when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved, referring to John, standing nearby, he said to his mother, dear woman, here is your son, giving John permission to take care of his mother because he was about to pass away on the cross. Now, what she said, though, was in the midst of that, Jesus kept carrying on. Now, I know it's really hard to just, you know, when we talk about, you know, communion, we talk about Jesus and the cross, we know the stories, we see all the pictures, and, you know, all of our mind starts going. But the excruciating pain of hanging on a cross, Jesus, in the midst of, like, I get migraine headaches. Like, I'll take a migraine headache over a cross hanging any day. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a piece of cake. That's a walk in the park compared to that. Because as he's hanging on the cross, like, it's actually, you don't realize, but you try and hang yourself like that and try and breathe. You know, it's exhausting. And people pass away not because they're hanging and bleeding. It's because they can't physically breathe anymore because of the exhaustion from their muscles. Because you actually have to, like, pick yourself up and then breathe. Breathe as you're hanging there. And he's going through this excruciating pain, and he looks out and sees his mom. And so he, you know, pills himself, you know, okay, John, you got to take him, you know, take, like, do you understand how much effort it would have taken Jesus to make that statement? And so I love the idea that she just planted the seed in my mind of the idea that we carry on no matter what, in a sense, is the carrying of the cross, no matter the pain and the discomfort and the struggles that we go through, we persevere and we carry on. I don't know if you as a Christian feel like, okay, I know that, I adopt that, or if you're like, still working through that. Because without Christ, then yeah, okay, fine, have all those struggles. But with Christ, we have victory in Jesus' name, even when we feel like we're dying. I mean, we can't even relate to that, even though we're going through all of our tough stuff. So it got me thinking about a couple characters in the story, because you know me and characters in the story, then I'd love to just look at them. So we're still in John 19, verse 25, though it said, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. And then we read the part that I've already read. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, dear woman, here's your son. So the first thing that just jumps right out to me is in verse 25, near the cross of Christ, near the cross of Jesus, we would expect women to be there mourning, because the authorities at the time felt like it was low risk to have ladies there mourning over husbands, brothers, family members. Other people that would gather around there, you wouldn't have like a group of guys gathering around because it could get ugly. They could try and, like, you know, take the soldiers out and get the guy off the cross and run for the hills. So they were very strategic on who they would allow there. So near the cross of Christ, we see a list of ladies there. So that's very common. In contrast to many paintings and pictures that we see in our mind or stories, You think about the cross, and Almely read it this morning about a scripture where, you know, hey, can you carry the cross for Jesus till he gets there? Now, the kind of crosses that we have in this church that we put up sometimes are like, my back hurts thinking about trying to move that cross. It is so heavy. It's not similar to that in the sense of like, the kind of crosses that you were crucified were not way up high and super massive and heavy. They actually were quite low down. They put you down, and you would be at a place where you could talk to the person quite easily. It wouldn't be like, they're way up there. It was something that they could see, so they could interact, so Jesus could talk to his mother painfully, but not having to yell at her because she was close. He was close as well. The next time we hear, though, of Mary, so when I think about the character I want to look at, I want to look at Mary for a little bit. Obviously, we see Jesus on the cross. So when I look at Mary, she's there. Oh, my gosh. Like, the mother of the Son of God is watching her son die. Like, that's emotional. And so often we just, you know, we read over that because it's only verses long, and we kind of get on to the next story. But the emotion that she must have felt, the pain that she must have been like, God, an angel spoke to me. I birthed the Son of God. What is he doing on this cross? I wonder if she had questions or was going through turmoil in her mind. But the next time that we pick her up, because I don't know about you, if, and at this point as well, we're pretty clear, pretty sure that the husband's not around anymore. He's probably passed away. And Jesus is the eldest son. So you've lost your husband, and now you're losing your son. I don't know how I respond to that. I've thought about that throughout my life. I thought, God, if you take some of my family, I don't know where you and I stand. Can I be honest with you? I don't know how I would interpret that. I don't know how I would respond to that. Now, I praise God that he's with me and he'll help me through that, but you got to understand, that would be a struggle. Now, if we're real with each other, that would be difficult. And don't try and just gloss that over like, oh, I'd be fine. You know, I'd be the perfect kind of guy in the story. You're kidding. Like, we got to meet and talk one day because I was just like, that would be so hard. And so we see Mary, though. We see her in this story. And the next time we pick her up, though, is in the book of Acts. Thank God for scriptures. Thank God we get to find out where she's at, right? Acts chapter 1, verse 14, we read. This is just before Holy Spirit shows up. They're all together. It says, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women. Thank God that Luke wrote this down. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers were there, praying together, expecting something to happen, waiting for the Holy Spirit to show up. Hallelujah! She didn't just run away and give up and say, well, it's over. Lost everything. Now I'm hooped. Luke's a good guy. I mean, I appreciate him, but you know, lost my husband, lost my son. I don't know where we're going from here. Isn't that just good news for us? So even in the midst of everything, we can't even compare to what Mary just faced. She stayed the course. She stayed on track. She followed through. She was waiting in expectation of something more to happen because she knew that in this moment it's not good, but something better is going to happen. Think about her story. Okay, this is Pastor Rob's quick interpretation. Just a lightning speed version of the story of Mary. This isn't a Sunday school story. Maybe it's a little book, a little pop-up book. You just quickly flip through, and it just gives you the highlights real fast. You know, you think it's Mary. Okay, angel shows up. I'm going to put a child inside of you, the Son of God, and that's going to be great. And Mary, of course, responds, like, I'm all in. Sign me up. Do you mind, though, talking to my husband? Because, like, we're going to have issues. Because, like, we've never been together, and now I'm pregnant. Like, you should go talk to him. Make sure he's on point with this idea. Because I like your idea. I like your plan. But, you know, this is going to be difficulty number one. And when we think about that, we know that story is, ha, 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 I'm with you. But seriously, man. Like, seriously. Like, if you have a spouse and that happened and I have questions. Like, anybody, logical human being would have questions, right? And so that's a difficult situation Mary faced. Then Mary gives birth, you know, majestic, obviously angels from heaven. It's awesome. It's the Son of God. That's great. Then the next thing, you have all authorities in the whole community wanting to kill your son. And so you book it for the hills. You take off to Egypt. Like, that's a difficult time. Like, if you're born, and so, like, let's try and put this into context for us. All of a sudden the authorities say, church and Christianity and the Bible and God are, we will kill anybody that talks about it or owns a Bible. Where are you going? You are like we got some serious problems here. Like, that's a difficult situation. Then Mary and Joseph, at some point along the way, at the age of 12, we read it really quickly, they lose him. Like, you've lost the Son of God. Like, Jesus, they go to Jerusalem for this, you know, the festival. They leave to go home, and they lose him. Like, that's not good. And so, you know, again, we can read that. It's only a couple verses. But, like, be in that moment right there. Where's Jesus? Joseph, where's, you know, you're the father. What's wrong with you? You're supposed to be the responsible one. Where is your son? And he's like, where's your son? You're the one that birthed him. I didn't, wasn't even a part of all that action, you know. Like, what's going on here? Right? They're blaming each other. Like, that's difficult. Then we read in verse 25 again, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. That's a difficult situation. That is like a pain that you can't even describe difficulty. Your son hanging on the cross, this promised son, raising the Son of God, you know, must have been difficult. There are some stressful moments we see there. That's life. That's real life. You know, if it was supposed to be all perfect, we wouldn't put those stories in there. But God wanted it to be real so we could connect and relate to it, so we can understand it as we face real life. And so I really appreciate that about it. So we all feel like, I hope you feel like, I have a purpose. I was born for a reason. I have a calling on my life. There's, you know, God's got something for me. But along the way, we face some things, don't we? But please, in Jesus' name, stay the course. Because you just never know what's around the corner. We never know what tomorrow will provide. Like, it's been 2 years of my illness. I don't want to keep bringing up my problems. I don't know what the problem. Pastor's the one with all the problems in this church. That's why. You know, like, hey, we all got stuff. And I want to be transparent with you because I don't want to stand up here and, you know, like, all clean shaven, you know, perfect. Like, no, like real stuff. I got a face in life, just like you. We're all going through it. But don't give up because you don't know what's going to happen. And I'm going to be free of this. And you're going to be free of whatever you're going through as well in Jesus' name, right? Because we've all faced things. We've overcome them. And so that's a testimony. It builds our faith when we get through those things and we overcome them. And we say, we look back, look at all those things God's helped me through to where I am today. And then we're like, oh my gosh, this next thing is just like, it feels bigger than all of the other ones. Like, God, this one's just way, I don't know how we're going to, and God's like, I got this. We're good. I know how it ends. I know the beginning from the end. Would you trust me with that? Oh, I want to trust him with that. Verse 26 again, just a little bit more here. We're going to have some fun. When Jesus saw his mother. Now, again, I talked about that idea of, like, the depth of Jesus hanging on the cross, all of the sins of the world. Ouch, that's a lot to hang. And then he's, like, looking at his mother. Like, he takes a moment to say something to her. Like, come on. Why am I beating myself up? This is terrible. Why do I do this to myself? But when I'm in pain and suffering, I'm not thinking about others. I'm thinking about all my problems. Like, I don't know what all you jokers are doing. I'm in pain over here. I'm not thinking like, oh, would you, I'm so sorry to inconvenience. Let me hit a home run with you. Okay, you know, this is a great one. Amelie, while she was giving birth to one of our kids, I'm trying to remember, I'm almost sure it was Celeste. She leans over, she's like, I'm so sorry, because it was late at night. I'm like, are you kidding me? You're delivering a kid. I'm just sitting here. And because I was like this, I was sitting there like this, you know, in the chair. Because it's late at night, and I was praying for us, like, oh, God, just, you know, be with her, help the baby, to, you know, all this good stuff, help everyone, mom to be healthy, baby to be healthy. And I think she looked over and thought I was, like, stressed out or worried or something. I'm so sorry, honey. I'm like, who cares about me, right? And so she's very godly, and, you know, I'm the one with all the issues. But anyways, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's awesome. And that's how Jesus was, and that's how we should be. In the midst of, you know, delivering a kid, you lean up, I'm so sorry, nurse, for doing this to you. No, don't do that. I'm not, but, you know, I'm a seer. Like, whatever you're going through, be able to go like, hey, I still, there's others around that I really want to bless. And, it would, you know, that's a mind shift, man. That's like a paradigm shift in your mind to be like, woe is me, to, hey, there's still other people out there. They're going through stuff too. And not just to focus on myself. That is easy to preach, mate, but difficult to live. For those that have written their will have done a better job than I have. I'm working on that one. I should probably get all that done. Not will, the will that we have in our church, but an actual like physical hard copy will that many of you have actually brought to me and I've signed for you. That's great. In it, where would you want to put your kids? You know, if unfortunately you had passed, who would you want to trust with your kids? And I think that we would probably lean towards like, well, you know, it's a safe home, a godly home. We kind of have a bit of a list of like, okay, that person I trust to raise my kids. And so when we see Jesus in his last hours and he looks at his mother and he knows that, you know, okay, no husband, I'm the eldest son, I've got to think of her. I've got to think of her welfare when I'm gone. It's very important to me. And so he could have looked to, which is pretty natural. We should do this, right? You think about their siblings. Jesus wasn't the only kid, the only like holy kid, but he had brother, he had, you know, other siblings. And so if he passes away, then it's the next eldest son is now taking charge. But he doesn't allow that to happen. Isn't that an interesting thought? Why? Oh, I love the scriptures. That's why we're going to go have some fun together. Why didn't he just let the next son take it? Why did he give it to a disciple whom Jesus loved, John? I love it how, isn't that interesting how writers always write that when they're writing about themselves? The disciple who Jesus loved, you know. Why didn't he just say, you know, John? You know, it's funny, writers don't want to talk about themselves, name themselves, but they'll really pump themselves up. And he's a great guy. He was tight with Jesus. We do get that. But why did he do that? And so we see here in verse 26, he says, "Dear woman, here is your son." So he passes off, in a sense, to John, the responsibility of his mother. So again, even in the midst of his suffering, he looks at taking care of somebody else. He looks at being generous, like a benevolence, making sure everything's taken care of. Through all of his pains, you know, he's thinking about his mother, okay, mid-40s, you know, as a lady back in the Old Testament. Man, if you didn't have something in line like that, and that's facts, okay? I'm not saying that's right, but the facts were she would have been in terrible turmoil. It would not be good with her. So he makes sure that she's taken care of even though he's in a lot of pain. And the younger brothers of Jesus would, again, normally take the responsibility, but they didn't give it to him. And so let's read why. And so we've got to see it scripturally. So we look in the book of John, so we're already there. John chapter 7, let's go back a couple chapters. John 7 verse 3, we'll start there. It says, Jesus' brothers said to Jesus, "You ought to leave here and go out into Judea so that your disciples may see the miracles you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. For even his own brothers did not believe in him." Wow. You're like, thanks, family. Thanks for the support system. No wonder why they looked somewhere else. Right? Jesus is like, I think we should probably trust Luke with this, or John with this, with my mother, because now I know scripturally that later on we pick up Mary and the brothers waiting for the Holy Spirit to show up. And we know that his brothers turn around, but in these moments, right out of the gate, it's not super positive. Like, stop doing these things, you know, around here in secret. You go out into the world and just go away. Just, you know, you get out of this house. At a certain age, you do need to leave the house. I do get that. But, you know, it's not good. They don't even believe in him. So then we pick up a little bit later. So this is in a different book, though. We've got to go to Mark, because sometimes we have to just, because different writers only pick up certain parts of the story. So we're going to go to Mark chapter 3. And we'll see, now that Jesus has really gone out, now his family comes to him. Say, oh, you go out there and do that stuff, and we'll just, you know, have a great time out there. And so Mark chapter 3, verse 20. "Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat." There's just so much teaching that was going on. There's so many needs, so many healings that need to happen. Verse 21, "When his family heard about this, they were like, that's exactly what we asked you to do. Just go out, heal people, do miracles. No, they said this. They went to take charge of him, for they said he's out of his blinking mind." Like, what? He can't win. At home, they're saying, you know, go out and do miracles. He goes out and does some miracles, and then they want to take charge of him again, like they want to control Christ. That's not going to happen. And so we see that the crowds are pressing on him. Jesus didn't have time to eat. You know, we should do that. That's important. Because of this, the family wanted to, you know, rein him in. And kind of, they thought, he's out of control. He's gone over the edge. He's a religious fanatic. He's not even taking care about his physical body. All he's worrying about is ministry. But they totally missed the point of Christ. The whole purpose he came was to do ministry, was to bring the gospel, was to bring salvation to us, not to take care of a physical, right? They took bread and fish and he multiplied it. That was a great miracle, but that's not why he came. Didn't come to give you a sandwich. Came to give you salvation, for crying out loud. And his family was completely missing the point. Let's just read a little bit further on. So we're still in Mark. Go on to verse 31. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. So they were talking about, hey, we got to go to him, take charge of him. He's out of his mind. Now they actually show up on the scene. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you. This is awesome. Who are my mother and my brothers? Jesus asks. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, here, right here, are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. That's our family. That's who you're adopted in. That's what Christ thinks about you. As we gather here, even right now, he looks down. He goes, this is my family. This is who is close to me. Now, we do believe in, you know, blood family and biological family. He's not speaking negatively against that, but he's just making sure that we all feel like we're part of God's big family. That's just great news written all over it. So we see, again, why Jesus, you know, probably gave John the responsibility. So go back to John chapter 19. So Jesus on the cross, being forsaken, looks after his mom and cries out when Jesus saw his mother. I can just imagine the compassion that he has. The disciple whom he loved, standing nearby, said to his mother, dear woman, here is your son. Now, I've shared with my own struggles, my own pains over the last couple of years. And I think about in this church, though, that there's some recent news of people going through their own struggles. I see, you know, when I moved here 5 years ago, a lot of strokes had happened. It felt like the first year I was here, I was just at the hospital every single week because somebody was ill and not doing well. And so we can look at all of that. And I could have said first year, I could have said, this is insane. Everyone's sick. Then COVID, you can't even do church. Like, what's going on, Lord? And God's brought us through all of that, right? We're still here today, and God is still on the throne. He's still coming through and bringing us through those seasons. I know that there's a season right now where I have a mother who oversees me, in the sense, in the office, my secretary, my administrative assistant, who is, I need, because I'm stubborn, and I'll come in the office, and I'll just be sitting there, like, drooling. I'm so sick. And she's like, what are you doing here? Go home. Yes, I should go home. Yeah, all right. And then I just go home, you know. And I go to bed. I'm so ill. And then I get up. I do the same thing the next day. And I think about the stress that I put on my wife by not being a good husband, in a sense, because I'm sick. And the stress that my kids have to go through because they see their father drooling like a yahoo, right? And not playing Lego or playing those video games or riding the bike that he's supposed to do those days. Now, those are not all my days. It's not always like that. But there are days like that. And so what do we do with that? Because that's real. You have to face that. And so woe is me. You know, I got staff. I got diagnosis coming out the wazoo. You know, but what do we do with all of that? We carry on. We press on. Amen. We don't know what God's up to. We don't know what he's going to do the next day or tomorrow. And we trust him because he's perfect. If you don't have Christ, I don't even know how you function. I tried that for 23 years. Brutal. Stressful. It's terrifying. Because you don't know. You're scared all the time. Then when you have Christ in your life, you say, God, it is scary. Lord, this is not good. But I can trust you. I know you. I have faith in you. You've been so faithful. I know that we will get through this together. I know that you have a plan for this. I know that you want to redeem this. And I know that this is a church full of people like that. because you guys have told me time and time again, Pastor, you come to my house, this is all going on. And then all of a sudden, the next time I see you, you're laying hands over the next guy that just went through what you're going through in Jesus' name, because you've been healed, you've been redeemed, you've been set free from whatever you're going through. And those people have like been addicted to things and struggling with addictions, and all of a sudden they're set free. And I'm saying, you should go talk to this person because I know you're going through it, and this person just got healed of that in Jesus' name. That's the kind of people that we are. Isn't that wonderful news? That no matter what happens, whether it's our own stubborn, foolish things that cause us pain, or the enemy throws things at us, or whatever happens in our physical body, we have an answer. Jesus is the answer. Jesus Christ will help you today and forevermore. Amen. Let's just close in a prayer. My last little thought here was just for fun. Even when life is lousy, God is good. God is so good. Amen. So let's just spend a moment just praying. So let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the word of God. As always, the truth of your word, it sustains us, it feeds us, it gives us life. And Father, I was just imagining, I was picturing last night, just as I was preparing, you were asking people to respond to that idea. That whatever they're facing right now, that they would turn to you. They would say, God, I'm going through some stuff. I need help in this area. I need help. Today, I need help this week, I need help tomorrow. And so I'm going to ask you to do something. So I'm just kind of just transitioning just for a second here. If you want to open your eyes, it's fine. I want to ask you to do something. I'm already standing. I got issues, I got problems, I need help. If you're here this morning, I want to pray for all of us corporately. So here's what I'm expecting of you. Not now, just in a minute. If you're online, I guess get off your couch. But if you want to, if you're feeling led to, you just stand up. That's it. Just stand up and you just say, I've got some stuff. I'm really struggling right now. And you just stand up. And then I'm just going to pray for all of us. Typically at the end of our services, we would have time of prayer. We'd have altar time. But today I don't want to do that. I want to just pray for you. And then I've asked the worship team to sing a celebratory song, believing that as we are obedient to us, like, God, I just give it to you. And that God would set us free. And God would meet you and he would touch you and he'd heal you and he'd comfort you and he'd do all those wonderful things that God can only do. I can't do. And so I'm going to ask you just right now, just out of obedience. If it's not you, it's great. Sometimes we're not in that moment. But if it's you, just stand to your feet. I'd love to just pray with you. And I want to encourage those that if it's not you, brilliant, just think of those around you right now. Just even as you're just thinking, you're just reaching out your hand, even like you see people around you, just want to pray for them. They're going through something and God wants to touch them. So let's just be in agreement together. I just want to pray now. So let's close our eyes. Father, in Jesus' name, you see all these obedient hearts to you, not to my voice and my, conjuring people to stand up or my manipulation. Father, they're just being obedient to you. And so as they're obedient to you, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would touch their physical body. You would speak into their inner being. You'd speak into their minds. You would fill them with the Holy Spirit, that you would help them to think and see differently as they face real life, as they face reality. And so, God, I thank you for the characters and the people and Jesus, your example in the Word of God, that you point us to the way you want us to live. But we can't do that without you. And so we need help today. We need help tomorrow. We need help to journey with you. And so help us to do that well. Lord, would you again touch us, fill us, free us, anoint us. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, God. Amen.